experienced anything like that in all my life. He said, I cannot wait to do that again. He said, if you see somebody who is in need, would you call me on, would you give me the chance to do that again? I cannot begin to tell you how that blessed my life, being able to share with somebody who was in need. Well, that's what it's about. God's people, when they're loving right, are sharers. And that means if I know you're lonely, I love you enough to go to you and share with you my fellowship. And if I know you're depressed and you're down, I love you enough to come to you and encourage you and try to help you get up and lift up your chin in your life. When we're loving properly, we're sharers. And then Paul says, practice hospitality. I wish we had a lot of time to talk about that. When Bob talked about it a great deal this morning in Bible class, it's something that we need to work on. I believe that Quail Springs is a very hospitable congregation. I've experienced your hospitality time and time again, and I see people and hear of people all the time who experience your hospitality. But it's also something we can improve in. We see somebody walk in here by themselves, maybe a week or two in a row, or maybe for the first time. Or we see a visitor stand, and we know that person is a visitor. What a better place in the world to say to them, come on, we don't have anything to eat. We got peanut butter and jelly. But we want you to come and share a time of fellowship with us. The times Marcia and I have been invited over to somebody's house for stale bread and bologna and cheese sandwiches, when we left there, we didn't talk about the fact we had bologna and cheese sandwiches. We talked about the fact that here is a person who cared enough to invite us into their home, and we were blessed by that. Practice hospitality. You'll find that in so doing, you're going to be the greater one blessed. Yes, you'll bless the life of somebody you have in your home, but you'll share a greater blessing because you have shared with somebody else. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's a tough one because the natural tendency in all of us is that when someone is persecuting and attacking us, we want to retaliate. I mean, when you start putting the hurt on me, my natural tendency is to want to put the hurt back on you. And you say something ugly about me, and the very first thing I want to do is say something ugly about you. You put me down, and the first thing I want to do is put you down. But the Bible says when we love one another, and our love is sincere and pure, that when somebody begins to persecute us, we, rather than curse them, pronounce a blessing on them. June Fine is a lady that's visited here on several occasions, and she is from Tennessee. She moved here and was a friend of Ira North, and we got to talking about this one time. She said, I'll tell you what Ira North does when somebody comes and starts sharing with them something that somebody said about him. She said, somebody will come in and say, you know, so-and-so said this about you. He said, Ira says, whoa, wait a minute. No, he couldn't have said that about me. He's one of my best friends. I love him. He wouldn't have said that about me. He said the first thing they do is, number one, they shut up. They don't say another word. And number two, the first thing they do when they leave his presence is go tell that person, you know what Ira said about you? Said you were one of his best friends and he loved you. You couldn't possibly say anything like that about him. Boy, that is the way to do it. That's blessing and not cursing. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Which do you find it easiest to do between those two? Rejoice with those who rejoice or mourn with those who mourn? Let's say you're in school and you're both up for an honor. You and a sister, you and a brother. Maybe you're both running for cheerleader. Maybe you're both in it for homecoming queen. Or maybe you're both running for an office in student government. And they get it and you don't. Do you really rejoice with them? You do if you're loving right. Or maybe you and a brother work for the same company and you're both up for the same promotion and he gets it and you don't. Do you really rejoice with him? You do if you love him. Or he is enjoying his success in an area that you really wanted to be successful in but you're not. Do you really find it easy? No, not easy. Do you find it in your ability to rejoice with him? You can if you love him properly. Because if my love is genuine and sincere and pure, I can find a way to rejoice with you. And you have success. And the last one we're going to look at tonight, mourn with those who mourn. And every life, some rain is going to fall. And I don't know anything that is more meaningful than to have somebody there to mourn with you when you're mourning. A little over 2 years ago, Lowell Martin and Gary Chance and I went to Lubbock, Texas. We went out there because the Lubbock Christian College lectureship that year was focusing on church growth, and so we'd all three gone out there. And I was asleep in the motel room one morning, and about 6:15, 6:30, the telephone rang. It was Marcia. She said, "Ronnie, your grandmother died this last night. And all the family's headed for Cisco, Texas, and we need to make plans to get there." So we talked there for a few minutes, and we figured out she'd already checked the flight schedules, and there was a flight she could get into Abilene. And Gary Chance had his car there, and so I borrowed his car, drove to Abilene and picked up Marcia. She flew in, went to Cisco, Texas, to be with my family as my grandmother passed away. And boy, she was a special lady. Miss her. We got there, and as I recall, the funeral was going to be one afternoon, about 1:30 or 2 o'clock. I don't even remember now if it's 1:30 or 2, but sometime in the afternoon. They had a great big dinner there at the church building for all the family. Boy, we gathered there and we had that fellowship, and when it was time for us to go upstairs, they'd kept the family removed from everybody else, and everybody was in there seated in the auditorium of the First Baptist Church, Cisco, Texas. Finally, it was time for them to take us up to be seated, and we went up and sat down on the front rows. And they had the funeral service, and then they dismissed the crowd. Then they dismissed the family. As we started back up that aisle toward the back door, First Baptist Church, Cisco, Texas, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Hadn't even thought about it. I'd been so busy. Hadn't even thought about it. My grandmother's gone. And boy, it hit me between the time I got up from the pew and got to the back door, and boy, the tears started flowing. Marcia was crying. We walked out of those doors and walked down the steps. Looked out there, and there was Barry and Linda Taft. Had gotten in their car in the midst of a busy, busy schedule. And had driven all the way to Cisco, Texas that morning to be there with me that afternoon. I don't remember a thing they said that whole day. Don't remember a thing they told me. But I remember as I walked down those steps, and the tears were flowing out of my eyes, they were also flowing out of theirs. And I remember that they were there, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. And if you've ever gone through a time of mourning, and you've had somebody love you and care enough about you to move in a time of mourning, there isn't anything in all the world that's more needed or more appreciated. Do you know somebody that's mourning? If you're loving right, you'll move in and share with them in that time of mourning. Yes, you're able to rejoice even with those who are rejoicing and experiencing success. Oh, but more than that, when they're hurting, you move in and you're able to share with them and weep with them and cry. It doesn't matter what you say. I don't remember a thing they said, but I remember they were there. And oh, that was so much help. Let me ask you tonight as we conclude, are you loving right? Is your love being manifest in these kinds of ways? We are devoted to one another, and you hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Is your love making itself manifest that you honor one another above yourselves? That your spiritual fervor and zeal is evident by the way that you go about serving Christ? Are you able to bless those who persecute you? Are you able to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn? Listen, if your love isn't manifest in those ways, you're not loving right. And maybe tonight you need to make a response. Some of you need to respond maybe in the pew where you sit. And you need to confess to the Lord as we sing and as we even pause right now and say, "Lord, I'm just not loving right and I know it. Help me to do better. Help my love to change and be sincere and genuine, and help me to quit watering down my love Some of you might need to respond publicly. Because your love has been manifest in such a public way, you brought reproach not only on your name, but on the name of Jesus. Maybe you need to come in a public way and say, I haven't been loving right, and I want to change that, and I want forgiveness because I haven't. And I want your encouragement to make my love what it ought to be. Tonight, if you have a response to make to the call of Christ, if you need to come to a love that surpasses all understanding, if you've never experienced the love of God, you need to come and experience it tonight through Christ. Be obedient to His Word and be baptized in Him. Whatever response you need to make, would you make it right now as we stand together and sing?
Who will follow Jesus, standing for the right, holding up His banner in the thickest fight, listening for His orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy way? Working for the Master, giving Him the praise, earnest in His vineyard, honoring His laws, faithful to His counsel, watching for His cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in His work of love, leading others to Him, lifting prayers above? Courage, faithful servant, in His word we see, on our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I.
Be seated, please.
Cheryl Barnes has come tonight making this statement. It's been a long time since I've really felt love for anyone. I know this, and those closest to me know it too. I need their forgiveness, your forgiveness, and especially God's forgiveness. Cheryl is a very special lady, renders such tremendous service to God here. We're touched by her statement and by the sensitive heart that she has demonstrated tonight. I know that you're going to join me and others to pray for her and encourage her as you find opportunity and ways of expressing.
Solomon says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with gain. For this is also vanity. For when goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what gain has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Solomon said, all I have in life to look at are those things that I've gotten, but I don't find any fulfillment there. That also is vanity. Maybe you read the article this past week on Larry Holmes in the sports section. He's an interesting personality, Larry Holmes. And the article was portraying him as a man who has everything money can buy. He says, I've got millions in the bank. I don't have to turn another tap. I can just sit around and just clip coupons the rest of my life. The article said he has a house with 9 bathrooms. We used to count houses by number of bedrooms. Now we're counting them with bathrooms. I don't know what that says about us. 9 bathrooms. And he has 2 Rolls Royces, the article said. He's got a great wife, and he's got a healthy daughter, and he's got another baby on the way. His wife drives around in a Mercedes-Benz. But I'll tell you, if you study Larry Holmes, he made $10 million plus Friday night. But he's empty. He's empty. And you can see it when they interview him. You can see it when they talk to him. You can see it whenever you see him walk down the street. He's empty. He's got everything in the world money can buy, but he is still empty. And you can absolutely thrust your life into wealth all you want to, and you can gain more and more and more, as Solomon said, but you're going to find out, here's the bottom line, that too is vanity. All you can do is look at those things, and it doesn't feel that deep sense of loss right here. Well, Solomon tried it everywhere. He was one of the wisest men to ever live on the face of this earth. A wise man is giving testimony. He said, I tried it in wisdom, I tried it in wine, I tried it in women, I tried it in work, and I tried it in wealth. What else is there to try? He concludes the matter, chapter 12, verse 13. The end of his life, the end of his search, he writes in verse 13, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Revere God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the summum bonum of life. As you revere God and submit your life to Him, His commandments, it's there you can finally find a filling place. That void and that deep sense of loss in yourself. If you try just about everything there is and you still come up empty, and you wake up and you scratch your head and you say, "What? Isn't there more to life than this?" Yes, there is. Revere God and keep his commandments. And there in that relationship, you'll find the summum bonum of life. Doug Parsons is a good friend of mine. We've talked once every couple of weeks or so. He was telling me about a good friend of his. I don't know him, but I know his name. He's a great preacher in our brotherhood. He said this friend of his, and we won't tell his name, just his first name, we'll call him Jerry. He said, Jerry, as he got out of school, began to go out and sow his wild oats, said he just was the wildest March hare. Tried it all. He was into the nightlife, and he was promiscuous with all the girls. And I mean, here was a guy that was just throwing his life away. And Jerry says, I had a close friend that came to me. And he asked me this question. He said, Jerry, if you had something that you didn't care one thing about, but you found out that there was somebody else who really wanted what you had, would you give it to him? I mean, keep in mind, you don't care one thing about it, and he cares everything about it. Would you give that to him? He said, why, sure I would. He said, then Jerry, why won't you give your life to Jesus Christ? You're so busy throwing it away, you don't care one thing about it. He cares everything about it. Won't you give it to him? this morning, folks, you've gathered here, and maybe there's that sense of emptiness and void. You know something's missing. And maybe you say, but Ron, I've gone to church and I've gone through all that. Listen, maybe you still haven't really fully given your life to Christ. Maybe your life really isn't revering God and keeping His commandments. Maybe you're just going through the motions. The summum bonum of life is found when you revere God and keep His commandments. Are you tired of watching your life go by a day at a time, same routine, and coming up empty? Wouldn't you answer the call of Jesus who says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. If you'll come to me, you can relax in my sufficiency. And I'll love you, and I'll bless you like you've never experienced in life. Would you answer that call this morning? As He invites and as we plead, as we stand and sing together, would you come to Him? Come right now while we stand.
I have a Savior, He's pleading in glory, a dear loving Savior, though with friends be few, and now He is watching in tenderness o'er me, but that my Savior were your Savior too. For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I am praying, I'm praying for you. I have a Father to me He has given, a hope for eternity, blessed and true, and soon He will call me to meet Him in heaven, but oh, that He'd let me bring you with me too, for you.
Coming this morning to express the desire to be a part of
pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Angry words are lightly spoken, bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command.
Number 303.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, I am on my way to those mansions fair. Just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise and His glory share. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, with the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing. Just over in the glory land, glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Please mark number 705. Number 705. At this time, we'll sing number 428. 428.
Purer yet and purer I would be in mind, dearer yet and dearer every duty find, hoping still and trusting God without a fear, patiently believing clear. Higher yet and higher out of and error rising to the light. Oft these earnest longings swell within my breast, yet their inner meaning ne'er can be expressed.
Thank you, Jeff, for your excellent leading. I suppose we've got the only song leader in the Brotherhood that drives 117 miles one way in order to be in church. Jeff and Vicki moved to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and I'm not sure that they've missed a service since the day they moved to Ardmore. That says something about the love that they have for this fellowship here. We do appreciate the job that they do and how great servants they are in the body of Christ. We appreciate Jeff and Vicki. We have, as you know, many of our college students. We are supporting in our missions effort on campaigns each summer. If my memory serves me correctly, we've got about 40 to 45 young people that we are involved in at least partial support as they have gone out to do campaign work in various parts of our world. Many of our students have written us back, maybe all of them, but I know that many, many of our college students have written back that are on campaigns, and we have posted those letters and cards and the correspondence from them out in the foyer on the missions bulletin board. And so if you'd have any interest in seeing how some of them are faring in various parts of the world, hope you'll go by and look at those letters and cards, and I know that you'll be encouraged by the way that